The Gemara quotes a brisa on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, and this is the brisa of Agra. It's about 10 lines up from the bottom, and
Tana.
Yeah, Tana.
Agra Chamura to Rabbi Abba.
Excellent. And in this brisa, we're addressing the case of eating cheese and meat. Well, we're going to go through all the different cases. The Gemara is going to be medayik from this price that there's a difference between Of and Basar, meaning Basar Behema. And it would be funny to say this, but to some extent the main chiddush is Basar Behema. Even though, again, that's not explicit in the price, it's only by implication. So he says the following. First, in the Moreshes Moshe, first he quotes the Gemara. So I'll just read to you. He doesn't quote the whole Gemara, but he says, Tana Igra, Agra. He says, Ofu Gvina Necholim Apikorin, Belo Netilas Yadayim, Ubelo Kinuach HaPeh. Okay. So the Rishonim now are going to debate what is the reasoning that underlies this statement of Agra, this brisa of Agra. And the first school of thought in the Rishonim is headed up by one interpretation of Tosfos, by the Bala Itur, the Bala Ma'or, one interpretation in the Ramban, and many other Rishonim. And they say the following, that since Basar Of Becholav is only Derabbanan, therefore we make it as a separate Kula in the case of Of. Lefi Zeh, this is the Moreshes Moshe, Ein Chiluk Beinim Ochal Gvina V'Acherkach Of, Beinim Ochal Of V'Acherkach Gvina. And this he quotes explicitly, is written explicitly in the Rid, who's one of the Rishonim. What difference does it make if he starts with Gvina and then he eats chicken, or whether he starts with chicken and then he eats Gvina? The unique category of Of is that it's Drabbanan. So if it's Drabbanan, then we don't need neither Netilas Yadayim nor Kinuach HaPeh, because we're talking about an Issur Drabbanan, which means we're applying the logic, again this is Berzon talking, so don't take this as a Torah's luxion, but we're applying the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. How far do we have to go with Gzera Atu Of Drabbanan? Meaning, what's the worst case scenario? He's eating the Of together with the cheese. Even if he did so, he wouldn't be violating an Issur D'oraisa. Why? Because Basar Of is Drabbanan. Now let me just add a footnote here on the side. According to this whole school of thought that we've presented, there would be no difference between Chaya and Of, because Chaya is only Drabbanan. Let's keep that in the back of our minds. Now we're up to another Shita. And that Shita is Rabbeinu Tam. And it's also quoted in other Rishonim. And he says that Of is different, not because it's Derabbanan, but because Eino Nidbak B'Yadayim B'Shinayim U'B'Chanichayim. This is the last line in Tosfos Divrei Maskil Of. In my quicker pace shiur, which I give in the Shtiblach at 7:30, and Yosef, you're always invited to join us. Okay. So this is the last thing that we did in shiur, this last line in Tosfos in Rabbeinu Tam. This is the last line on Kuf Dalet Amid Beis.
Yeah, I see it.
And Tosus says that with regard to Oaf, Enu Nidbak Biyodayim Bishinayim Ubachanichayim. In other words, chicken is lighter than meat in a certain sense, and it doesn't really get stuck. Not to your hands. It doesn't have that oily kind of thing. It doesn't get stuck between your teeth. It doesn't get stuck up in your gums. You know what I mean? It's something that.
But you're not going to say the same about Chaya.
Excellent. You're brilliant. Okay. I was going to lead up to that. So I'm just going to follow his presentation. But you're right. The clear-cut nafkamina between the Balei Itur and that whole school of thought and Rabbeinu Tam is going to be the case of Chaya. But guess what? If we were creating a flow chart here, Rabbeinu Tam would be, you know, on the right side or the left side of this flowchart, but underneath Rabbeinu Tam, we would have two lines going in two different directions because there are two different ways of understanding Rabbeinu Tam. The first way of understanding Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbi Kivega's way. Rabbi Kivega says that the reason why Agra, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the reason why Agra was matir to eat cheese after chicken is because of this reasoning. And that is that Eino Nidbak, etc. Right? When I say Eino Nidbak v'chule, you know, you'll fill in the next three words. And therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we should not eat oaf after cheese without netila. Why? Because although Rabbeinu Tam is making a very excellent point as far as inside the mouth is concerned, however, with regard to one's hands, Rabbeinu Tam should be agreeing, again we have to figure out how to fit this into the language of Rabbeinu Tam, that we really must have the Tilas Yadayim after Gvina, and in that sense, you know, separating Gvina and Oaf and Gvina and Basar should be exactly the same. And that is that we need the Tila because the Gvina's Nidbekes Biyadayim.
I'm just curious about something.
Yeah.
How come the Gemara has sometimes says chalav and sometimes says gvina?
Usually it says gvina. I mean, the only exception I think is Rabbi Yitzchak. Let me just check that out.
But the Isur is basar chalav.
Oh, even in Rabbi Yitzchak it says gvina. Yeah. So this takes us back to the beginning of the perek. I'm not sure if I should. It may take me the balance of the shiur to review what we did then, but just the bottom line was that it could be there's a whole different set of laws that apply to chalav than apply to gvina. One is because chalav is a liquid and it's brought in a receptacle, and gvina is a solid and it's brought directly onto the table. Another difference might be in terms of getting stuck in between the teeth, where a liquid doesn't get stuck in between the teeth, but a solid does. Furthermore, in the case of gvina, because of cheese having a very oily, what do I want to say about cheese? It has a, could I call it a film? F-I-L-M? Would that be a proper word? What word would you use? You know, when you a coating.
It creates a coating. That's part of the nidbak, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here. Because now, in Rabbi Kivega's frame of reference, don't even dream that Rabbeinu Tam would drop the requirement in the case of Oaf of washing your hands of below netila. No. Hagvino nidbekes biyodaim. That's the principle of Rebbe Shveig. If you want to write that down, that's critical. Hagvino nidbekes biyodaim.
And shinaim b'chanitaim.
No. That's the point.
That's the
bus. That where Rebbeinu Tam is putting oaf in a different category. That's only as far as kinuach hapeh is concerned, to get rid of any residue of cheese in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Again, you and I are thinking in terms of hard cheese, but if you think about cottage cheese, for example, which is very soft, you don't end up with anything in your mouth. You know, you're able to swallow it all. And the nafkamina is going to be as far as kinuach hapeh is concerned. So that when Rabbeinu Tam says that basar oaf is not, let's read the language again. It's eno nidbak biyadayim b'shinayim u'b'chanichayim, right? But that doesn't tell you anything about gvino. Again, I'm not exactly sure of the metzias here. I don't know if you took... Again, I'm going to say something that's counterintuitive. So you'll Google it and you'll tell me I'm wrong. But I'm just going to... If you take chicken into your hands are not nidbak, the shamnunis of oaf. Maybe there's a little bit, but it's nothing significant. But if you take cheese into your hands, so argues Rabbi Kivager, then you've got real serious film of gvina on your hands. What did you call it again, Yosef? Not film? What was your word? A layer or something? You had a different word. Anyway, you have mamoshes of gvina. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam must be assuming the tils yadayim. Why? Because if the gvina is nidvekes biyadayim, then you need netila for that. And we require an halacha, netilas yadayim, between gvina and basa. That was never an issue. And why do we require netilas yadayim ben gvina la basa? Apparently the gvina itself is nidbekes biyadayim. Okay. Now again, I don't know how to put this into the language of Rabbeinu Tam unless we say the following, that Rabbeinu Tam is not addressing the question of gvina, he's just addressing the question of oaf. Let me just see if I can... this is not happening here right this second.
Alright, so Rabbeinu Tam does not talk about oaf. He only talks about
gvina. No, just the opposite. I think Rabbeinu Tam's discussion is about oaf. What does Rabbeinu Tam say about describing oaf? He says basar oaf is eino nidbekes biyadayim v'shinayim v'chanichayim. He's not making a comment about gvina here. Just give me 1 second, I'm having trouble finding. Oh. So what would be about gvina? Could be that in the case of gvina, we would require a netilas yadayim. Again, there's one line here in Tosus where he says, I'm a gvina buta lecho basar achreha af belo netila bekinua. What is that? I think Tosfos is going to take out the word netila. Okay, so then that's number one. Okay, so we'll call that Rabbi Kivager, and his understanding of Rabbeinu Tam is that in the case of Gvina is nidbekes biyadayim, and therefore we would require netila between gvina and basa. And my assumption that would apply in any sequence, even if he starts with gvina, he would not be allowed to eat basa until he washes his hands. Now we're up to another opinion of Hadut of Rabbi Tam. This is the Rosh Yosef.
The difference between the Tila and Tinoah.
Right, because again, what we're saying is that Netila means getting rid of the shamnunis of Gvina in our particular case, it could be Bosa as well, getting it out of your hands, cleaning your hands. However, if you ask me, is your mouth full of cheese, then you have to just in your mind imagine cottage cheese or some sort of very soft cheese. The answer is that your mouth is completely free of cheese. There's no lingering cheese, whatever that means. Lingering cheese. I'm using a very vague terminology. Deliberately, I'm using.
Kinuach is
to get rid of anything that lingers in your mouth. Now, the Rosh Yosef says in Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbeinu Tam is also moder to the sheet of the Bala Iter and so forth and so on that we mentioned earlier, that Oaf is only Durabbanon. So I'm trying to figure out how is the Rosh Yosef Hanasi depart ways from Rabbi Kiva Eger. In Rabbi Kiva Eger, we said that after Gvina, you certainly require Netilas Yadayim, because Gvina Nidbekes B'Yadayim. Now, what does the Rosh Yosef say? That don't disregard for one moment the fact that Basar Oaf is Derabbanan. Rabbi Natan is fully aware of that. So what's the Ein Lechel Of Achar Gvina? What does it mean? Taimo Shal Igro Mishum Shal Of Asim Rabbanon VeKavanos LeFareish. One second. Mau Hatam LeChalik Bein Of LeChaya. It's a whole new twist on Rabbeinu Tam. Saying Rabbeinu Tam is trying to understand what's between Oaf and Chaya, and he says Vahaka Omar, the shiny Oaf she'enu nidbak, but Chaya we said is nidbak. Wait a second. According to the Rabbi Kiva Eger, we're saying that what? So if we're saying that Oaf is also the Rabbanon, so Chai is also Asad only the Rabbanon. Farish. Watam lechalik bein Oaf lechaya. It means the following. That if you're going to tell me that Oaf is the Rabbanon and therefore we don't require Netilas Yadayim, where would we fit Chaya into this? Chaya is also only the Rabbanon, so we therefore should assume up front that if in the case of Oaf you don't require Netilas Yadayim, then as well in the case of Chai you shouldn't require Netilas Yadayim. No, I lost it for a second. He's saying that when Rabbi Tam gives this whole spiel about Oaf, that Oaf is not Nidbak V'yadayim v'shinayim v'chanichayim, Rabbeinu Tam is coming to distinguish between Oaf and Chaya. So I'm wondering, how does that impact on Rabbi Kibbeger? Rabbi Kibbeger was the one who said that everything depends upon the mitzvahs of Nidvach. So the Mela, we drew the conclusion that seems logical that the Beit Tam would agree that with regard to Vosar Chaya, you would need Netil Sidai. So how is Rosh Yosef departing? He's parting ways from Rabbi Kibbeg. I don't see it, except that here the Rosh is indicating that Rabbeinu Tam agrees that Agra holds that Oph is Durabbanon. Oph is Durabbanon. And therefore what? We can be Mekil in Oph, since Oph is only Durabbanon. Would you please write that down? Because I'm going to need you to remember that. That according to the Rosh Yosef, would be Mekil and Oph because it's only Durabbanon. Not because Oph has a different, what word can I use?
Consistency.
Consistency. It's not because of the consistency. It's because the halachic consideration that Oph is only Durabbanon. No, so you'll ask me, says Rosh Yosef, so why does Rabbi Tam give us this whole spiel about the fact that Oph is Ein of Nidbach? I mean, just simply say, well, it's only Durabbanon. So he says that Rabbi Tam wants to answer Chaya. Oh, so it works like this. Both Chaya and Oph are Durabbanon, but the difference between Oph and Chaya is that Oph is not Nidbach. So it's Durabbanon and it's not Nidbach. Chai, on the other hand, although it's Durabbanon, it's Nidbach. So since it's Nidbach, since it's Nidbach, it doesn't have both qualities like Oph does. Oph has what you call Tati L'Tevusa, two things going in its favor. Number one, it's only Durabbanon. Number two, it's not Nidbach. In the case of Chaya, it only has one thing in its favor. It's Durabbanon, but it is Nidbach. So again, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we're going to say that Oph is different. Why? Because Oph is not Nidbach. So then Lechora, the only difference, the only difference between, let me say it a little differently. The only thing that Chaya could have going for it is that it's not Nidbach, but it really is Nidbach. Is therefore you would need Netila, even in the case of Chaya, even though it's Durabbanon. But according to the Rosh Yosef, then maybe, no, that doesn't make sense. Shucks, I don't know if the Chisaron is mine or it's in the. Let me, Barbosa, let me take a minute of your time just to read this out loud, because I really want to. I want to sort of nip this in the bud. You know, I want to get it down straight. He says the following: Nechleku achronim bebir divrei Rabbeinu Tam. There's machlokas how to interpret Rabbeinu Tam when he says that Oph is einu nidbak v'yadayim shinayim v'chinichay. Rabbi Kibbeg says that what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that this is what Agra means in the Brisa. So when he says that you can be Matir Gvina Achar Oph. And why is Gvina Achar Oph going to be Mutter? Because Gvina is not Nidbach. One second. No. Is that what Rabbeinu Tam says? Rabbeinu Tam says that Oph is not Nidbach, right?
Yeah.
Ah, so what would be the deal with Gvina? So Gvina would be Nidbach. Oh, that's Rabbi Kivegan. Okay, so that's where I lost it. So again, the thrust of Rabbi Kivegan and Rabbeinu Tam is to tell you that Rabbeinu Tam agrees that Gvina certainly requires the Tils Yadayim. Why? Because it's Nidbach. Oph itself would not require Netil Sudaim. So let's say, for example, if he eats oaf, just one second. When did he eat the oaf? If he ate the oaf after Gvina, then he must have Netil Sudaim, correct? Because otherwise he'll have Gvina together with oaf. And Rabbi Kivega seems to be totally oblivious to the fact that that oaf is only asa midrabbana. You hear this? Rabbi Kivega is putting all our focus on nidbak.
Yeah.
And therefore he's saying the following, that if you want to eat anything after oaf, let's say you want to eat cheese after oaf, no problem, because there's no nidbak. So you don't need it until you die. But let's say you want to eat oaf after gvina. You follow the opposite sequence. Then you have a serious problem because gvina is nidbak.
And it is not derabana.
What do you mean it's not derabana? Right now, as far as I can tell, that's irrelevant to us whether it's derabana or derabana. Because again, we want to know whether you need Netil Sudaim. And the answer to that question is, nidbak or is it not nidbak? So right. if you're eating oaf after Gvina, you're going to need Netil Sudaim before you eat the oaf because
Gvina is nidbak.
If on the other hand you're eating Gvina, if you're eating
oaf first,
then you have no problem because oaf is not nidbak.
Not nidbak. So the whole inyan of Derabanan doesn't seem to make any difference.
Correct. It seems like Rabbi Netam, in terms of Netil Sudaim, he is reducing it all to one and only one issue. That's how Rabbi Kivega understands Rabbi Netam. The issue is it nidbak or it's not? No oaf, not nidbak. You don't need Netil Sudaim, go ahead and eat your cheese. You ate cheese, it's nidbak, you have to do Netil Sudaim before you eat oaf. Now, the Rosh Yosef, this is going to be the second interpretation of Rabbi Netam. He's holding that Rabbi Netam's underlying premise, which we said in Rabbi Kivega's interpretation was totally irrelevant, is that oaf is only derabbana.
And therefore?
Oh. Since oaf is derabbana, what Rabbi Netam is saying now is that oaf is going to be different than chaya. Let me explain. What Rabbi Netam is going to try to point out here is that although after oaf you don't need Netil Sudaim, don't think that that's simply because oaf is derabbanan, but it's because of a second factor here, that oaf is not nidbak. But what Rabbi Netam is trying to point out here is that since chaya is nidbak, is therefore chaya, although it's derabbanan, would still require Netil Sudaim.
We're convinced that derabbanan is not the issue. The nidbak is the issue.
Again, that was Rabbi Kivega, but the Rosh Yosef is introducing here the element of d'oraisa versus d'rabbanan. Oaf is d'rabbanan, and now we can talk about whether it's nidbak or not nidbak. Just one second. Nafkemina. Oh, maybe he has a nafkemina here. Ishari. I'm not sure if this is going to help us, but ishari lechel oaf achar gvina velo netila. Let's just think about this.
Because oaf is d'rabbanan. Even though Gvina is nidbak.
So wait a second. So according to Rabbi Kivega, one thing is clear. If he wants to eat oaf after Gvina, he needs the tila. Correct? Can you write that down? That has to be written in stone, because that's one of the things that we're absolutely certain about. That's according to Rabbi Kivega. Because according to Rabbi Kivega, the only factor that plays a role here is nidbak. And Gvina is the Bekes B'Yadayim. So he certainly, after Gvina wants to eat oaf, he's got to wash his hands. Not so according to Rosh Yosef, because Rosh Yosef says that Rabbeinu Tam is pushing to be making an oath because it's only Darabonah. So therefore, if the whole point of Rabbeinu Tam is Darabonah, so we're more inclined to be Mekil. We said according to Rabbi Kivega, if he wants to eat, he wants to eat chicken after Gvina, he's got a problem with that in the Tusitam because Gvina did Bekes. But Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, so what are you afraid of? You're afraid that because the Gvina is the Bekes, therefore what? Therefore, if he eats oaf afterwards, he needs the Tilsi Daim. That's Rabbi Kivega in Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rosh Yosef is saying nein, because even in the worst case scenario, let's say the Gvina is the Bekes, so he's eating Gvina Kaviyochel with oaf, well, that's only the Rabbanon. So we don't have to make this whole requirement of Tilsi Daim because of Gvina and Bekes if he's eating afterwards oaf.
Therefore, lo matzrich netilat yadayim.
That's what I think he's saying.
Right. That's what I'm
now. But you'll ask. Well, wait a second, Rabbeinu Tam puts all the emphasis on nidbekes. I mean, that's the words of Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rosh Yosef, we can be mekil an oaf simply because it's only drabbanim.
Right.
And that's the reason why Agra is being mekil an oaf. So now we have to ask the question, what is the difference between oaf and chaya? Because if you're telling me the whole deal is because it's rabbanon, the same thing should apply to chaya. And we only apply these coolers to oaf, because of the different consistency of oaf, etc. Ahok omer, the shiny oaf, she'eno nidba. That oaf is different than chaya, and it's not nidba.
The chaya is nidbak,
right? And oaf is different than chaya because it is not nidbak. What I meant by it is oaf is not nidbak. So chaya is different than oaf because oaf is not nidbak.
Then you're going to have the nidbak of the gavina and the nidbak of the chaya together. Whereas with oaf, it will not be together.
Well, I would say a little differently that oaf, even if it would be together, is only derabbanon.
Chaya is also derabbanon.
Oh, so chaya is also derabbanon. So what are we saying? It was saying that in the case of gvina, we're dealing with what? With gvina and oaf. So gvina and oaf would only be derabbanon. And therefore what? You do need a tilsi daim or you don't need a tilsi daim? Let's see. If you're talking about what? This Rosh Kosel should be the first time of the Yagra. Rosh Yosef Pirsha Rabbeinu Tam Modesh at time Roshel Agra who Mishum Sha'ov Hosu Drabbanon. The question, so now, why did Agra only? Why was he only mekil by oaf? What was the language of Agra? Agra said that oaf is oaf gvina chalam liafikor, and so it means he was mekil by oaf because oaf is derabbanon. So if the time of Agra is that oaf is derabbanon, then why should we differentiate between oaf and chaya? That oaf and chaya should be one and the same because they are both derabbanon. Ahoka Omar, the shiny oaf. So why did Agra only mention oaf, correct? Oaf bafikor. He didn't mention a word about chaya. And the answer is because chaya is nidbak. If it's nidbak, even though it's drabbanon, it's also. So now, can you eat oaf after gvina without matila? I don't know. That last part about the nafgamina between Rabbi Kivega and the Rosh Yosef, that's something that we have to spend a little more time on. Maybe after Mincha, if we have a few minutes, I just don't want to miss Mincha.